And on today's Windy City Queercast, Coleman Domingo from New York. We're talking about the new season of the Big Gay Sketch Show on Logo. What are some skits that Coleman should present for this hot new season? And also, Proposition 8, are the protests working, and what really would stimulate the stimulus package, according to me, moi, the expert? I think I know these things. And The Amazing Race, how amazing is it? Also, I am informed by our editor, Andrew Davis, of some of the details on the shows that I didn't know much about for the GLAAD Media Awards, plus theater, tons of news, gosh, guess who's going on tour, I'm so excited, and much, much more. It's a big, fat Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Coleman Domingo.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 285. I'm Amy Matheny in Chicago.
And I'm Coleman Domingo in New York City.
Hello, Coleman.
Hello.
It feels like a long time since we've talked with you.
I know. It has been, I think. It's been a while because I was away a little bit. Yeah.
Where were you?
I was at the Long Wharf Theater in New Haven, Connecticut, doing the world premiere of an Otho Fugard play called Coming Home.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to sound like Oprah. Oprah repeats things like 3 and 4
yes.
times. It was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of theater. It really was.
Yeah.
And I feel very proud to have been a part of it. And I think it's going to have a long life. And I'm sure you're going to see a production of it in Chicago as well.
Now, where is Long Wharf?
Long Wharf is in New Haven.
In New Haven. Did you enjoy being in New Haven?
I really loved it. New Haven is so cool. I mean, I don't know if we're... listeners out there, anybody who's in a town where the university basically dominates, like Yale. It's really kind of cool. It's kind of like there's lots of great thinkers and good coffee houses and lots of great, I'm telling you, amazing food.
Oh, really? Well, the seafood, yeah, right?
Yeah, but it was like restaurant heaven. I mean, it was like Thai food, Japanese, you name it, like, you know, California cuisine. But they had restaurants. I thought it was in San Francisco or like Paris or something. It was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
That's super cool. I've heard people say they don't like New Haven, but they loved Yale. The people I know who went to Yale.
I guess so. But it's funny. I guess I was there for, 2 months? And I really did not mind it. I really enjoyed it. But also, I left every Sunday night and came back to New York to see Raul and, take care, do my New York experience for like 1.5 days and then went back to, went back up there on a Tuesday,
Well, happy belated Valentine's Day. Are you a big Valentine's romantic?
You know what? This year I sort of became one and it kind of surprised Raul because usually I'm like, we try to do things that are not done like we celebrate Christmas like the week before, Thanksgiving the day after. We try to do it on our own day, you know, to be kind of cool about it. Mm-hmm. But some reason this year when Valentine's Day came around, I wanted everything that I saw people with flowers and little teddy bears and shit. And I wanted that kind of shit. And I was like, I came home. I'm like, I'm going to make a romantic dinner. He's like, okay, that's fine. And I was like, aren't you going to set up the apartment to make it look really romantic? I became really, really needy junior high school girlfriend. That's what I became.
You're like in high school when I remember going by the principal's office and it was glass and you could see all the flowers that people had gotten sent to their boyfriend had sent them or the girl sent the guys balloons and shit.
Yeah.
And it was like you just wished you got the biggest arrangement.
Yes, exactly.
Or the most. The most Valentine's.
Now, what about you? What about you? What did you guys do?
You know, I honestly, I don't really, I've never made a big deal about Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I had a restaurant with my ex for so many years, and Valentine's was always about making everyone else have some sort of perfectly romantic experience so you couldn't fuck up and screw right. their whole love affair. But I have to say, too, that you're probably feeling needy because you've been away a little bit. And Kelly's actually been home for a few weeks. And I feel myself just reconnected with her and feeling really good. You know, we're hitting a place in our relationship after four plus years. Gosh, can you believe I met you 4 years ago? That's crazy.
I know. Wow.
That at four, I mean, you and Raul are about the same, too.
The exact same. The exact same.
Exactly around the same time. You know, I just feel like we're settling into a deeper relationship and a sweeter relationship and more fun. And at the same time, our own individual lives are kind of fully formed. And
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah.
It's like, doesn't it feel like lately we've just been around the apartment where like Raul's working on some design things and he's just working and diligently sewing and everything. And I'm just, you know, reading a book and it's like, so I like that time when you're together, but you're doing, you know, you're doing your own things, but you're together.
Yeah. I really feel that. And she's a great writer, my girl. So she always writes the most beautiful cards and she gave me a couple of Valentine's cards, which was really nice. And we went out a few days before because we both had kind of a crazy weekend. And and we've just really been kind of taking a night each week where one of us plans the night out. And it has created a lot of sanity in my home, you know? like she plans a night and then I plan the next week. And so we went and had sushi and just kind of had a romantic dinner and came home and, you know, had some fun. And
had some fun. Yeah, exactly right.
But
had some lady time.
Had some lady time. And, oh, Lord, do you think that Chris Brown and Rihanna did not have a good Valentine's Day or what?
I don't think they had a good time at all. I mean, poor kids. I mean, what I don't know. It's like that's so out of hand. What that kid did, what, you know, what Chris Brown did. And it's like, he's not thinking at all. You know, you can just tell he's not thinking. And it's like, he doesn't realize the position he's in and all his actions are being watched, you know, and everything costs.
So and, what was the final, what was the verdict that came out on what happened that night? Do you know?
I think from what I've been reading and all, it seems like the verdict was that they were fine. Then they got into an argument or something like that in the car and, you know, he hit her. he hit her and, you know, there was rumors about bite marks and shit like that. I don't know. But it just sounded like, you know, he says he's saddened and he's sorry about what happened. So it does point that he actually was out of hand and out of line and was trying to, you know, beat Rihanna down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what is your problem?
She's a fierce woman, too. I would imagine. Yeah. It's like you're always surprised, you know, like by the Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? And these fierce women that, to me, you would never think would be in that situation. But obviously, anybody can be in that situation.
But it's funny, because I think she's a fierce young lady, but she's still dealing with a kid. I mean, Chris Brown, in every way, he's not a man.
No, but neither of them are. She's a girl.
Yeah, true.
She looks like a woman, but...
She looks like a woman, yeah, but she's a girl. You're right.
No.
But isn't she from like Barbados or something? You know, they're older, those women, you know, those young girls. They. I don't know.
Aw, bless their little hearts.
Young love.
Yeah, I think she should dump him though, right?
Oh my God, without a doubt.
But isn't like, isn't some, like, Jay-Z or someone said Chris Brown better watch out, but then somebody else was kind of supporting Chris Brown, so they each kind of have a, I don't know, parental person in the R&B community kind of in their corner or something weird like that?
That's crazy.
I heard that.
Really?
Because Jay-Z's kind of almost like a father figure to her.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he and, yeah. And plus, as I told a friend of mine, I said, she also is probably making him a lot of money. So yeah. don't be fucking with the merchandise, you know?
Exactly.
But I think really he's just been a huge mentor to her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and it's good. Those kids both obviously need some mentors.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Brown. Yeah, Chris Brown really needs to. He's going to have to really get it together for himself, you know, and just really figure this out, because that is so, it's so inexcusable. Yeah.
Yeah. So last week on the shows, Alexander Billings and I were talking about the GLAAD Media Awards, which have been announced, and I made a few. Well, I don't know if I made gaffes, but I didn't have full information on some shows that I don't really watch, and I don't know if you watch any of these shows or not, but Andrew, our editor of Windy City Times, who provides the news to us each week, he gave me some information on Torchwood. He said that Torchwood is a BBC sci-fi series. It stars out actor John Barrowman as a pansexual Captain Jack Harkness. And he's loved everyone of every sexual orientation, and other characters have engaged in same-sex relationships. So that's obviously why.
Yeah, I hear that's actually a cool series.
Yeah, I think you and I need to sit down and grab a bowl of popcorn and watch some of that.
We have to.
And then True Blood, which I'm not watching, which is the vampire show.
I don't watch that either.
They have a gay black like supporting character, I guess, on the show. And they were another one of the shows that was mentioned. And then a show called Greek, which Andrew said is an ABC family series on takes place on a fictional college campus, and one of the characters is a black gay hockey player, and he's one of the coolest people on the show. And so that's kind of cool. Those are a couple of actors of or gay characters of color too, which is
That's very cool. That's great.
Since you represent sometimes the African American gay experience in your various roles, how's things with the Big Gay Sketch Show, and what's going on with the new season of that?
Well, we start actually tomorrow. We start. I have my first writing. Meeting with the writers for season 3 tomorrow afternoon, actually.
And what are you thinking? Like, what characters are you wanting to bring to the table after months of just letting life and pop culture? I mean, I could see you doing a little Michelle Obama.
Oh, you know what? It's so funny because people have been saying that, but I have a plan. I think I should play in a sketch. In one sketch, I should play Barack, Michelle, the mother-in-law, and Aretha Franklin.
Could you do Sasha and Malia as well? I would love that.
Oh, my God. And Sasha and Malia. And
a dog.
And a dog.
Have they gotten a dog yet?
I don't know, but I'll play the dog that they should get. And it should be a gay dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They should have a gay dog. A big old Nelly dog.
That would be hilarious if they had a gay dog.
I would love it. But, oh, my God, that's perfect. I got to play Sasha Malia as well.
You totally do. I think a gay dog should be Sam. My brother came up with this idea. My brother said that they should get a dog named Sam, which stands for Sasha and Malia. So maybe you can have Sam the gay dog.
Sam the gay dog.
Sam the big gay dog.
I love it.
It's
love
like Clifford. Remember like those books like Clifford that was that big red dog?
Yes. That's great. I'm gonna totally steal it. So yeah, so I'm trying to do like new characters like that, and just like things that are topical and a lot of fun. If you have any suggestions, you know, hey, please send them to the Windy City Queercast people.
That's
and
right.
And forward them to me. Any suggestions for me, I will take them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been such an interesting time while you all have been off the air.
So much changed.
Because you weren't really tossing around Barack Obama as a character, and now
right.
he's such a key figure. There's been so much going on too with rappers in the news, which I don't know. Maybe it's always the same, but all this homophobic 50 Cent stuff that's been going on. I don't even know how you make that funny, because I find it not funny at all. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't even know how I wouldn't even like. It's funny because I feel like I try to, and what we try to do on the Biggest Guest Show, I try to like, I want to portray people who I honor in some way. So I think like I would never do people who I like. I'm actually disgusted by.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like I leave those people alone because I don't want them to have any more press.
Yeah, maybe you know? Maybe you could also play Condoleezza Rice and what she's going to do now that she's not in the big White House.
Oh my God, what is she going to do?
I don't know.
Hopefully,
she's
get a
not
haircut.
Under the thumb of George Bush. What is she going to do?
She's going to braid her hair.
She's going to go marry gonna a white Canadian,
her hair,
right?
Wear a dashiki and some Juicy Couture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, what if she I did? Love it.
But wouldn't it be hilarious? What if she all of a sudden became like, you know, Keisha?
Keisha.
You know what I mean?
Or Lisa.
Well,
Condoleezza.
What if she became Condoleezza?
Yeah.
It's not Condoleezza Rice. It's Condoleezza. Condoleezza. Uncle Ben's. Not Rice. Uncle Ben.
Oh, my gosh. Stupid. That's so funny.
What
so, have you been a fan of any big film coming up into the big Oscar race that you're excited about?
Well,
performance?
Let's see. Well, Milk. Absolutely, Milk.
Yeah.
That's number one for me. And also, what else? What else have I seen? I think anything. It's funny because I've not seen the two Kate Winslet movies, but I feel like I don't even need to see them.
Yeah.
Just give her the goddamn award.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't care. I don't care what she did. Just give her the fucking award. She's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. Certain people, like Kate Blanchett, I don't care. Just give her an award.
Yeah.
Showing up. Yeah, just that's
for,
fine.
Just for showing up.
Just showing up. Give her an award.
Give
I don't care
what
award. It
is. Give her an award. Please.
But who else? I don't know. One thing I did just see this weekend that I thought was great was Coraline.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just had a review of it on the show last week, and Richard Knight loved it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's super gay.
Is it?
It really is, yes.
Wow.
It's kind of super gay. You're like, wait a minute. Yeah.
I love the, really cool. The eyes. They look so disturbing with the button eyes.
It's funny. It's one of those things I don't want to tell anyone anything about it. I feel like you just have to go and experience it because it's so cool. Excuse me. It's so cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I will definitely put that down. I have not seen it yet.
All what right, about you? To, what about you for the Oscar race?
You know, for the Oscar race, I'm with you. I really wish Milk would win Best Picture. I obviously Sean Penn or Mickey Rourke, but I think that Mickey Rourke is so genius in The Wrestler. I was really caught off guard by that film. I've said that before here on the show. I too have not seen Kate Winslet, and I haven't seen Meryl Streep in Doubt because I just. Right now, I love Meryl Streep, but I also love Cherry Jones, and I saw Cherry do it.
Yeah, same here. I don't want to see Meryl Streep do it.
And I feel torn about going to see her do it, but I'm probably going to.
Yeah.
I just had a great idea, though. I did enjoy Slumdog very much, and I think it'll probably win the Best Picture, though. I really thought Milk was... To me, I thought Milk was a better picture, but I really loved Slumdog Millionaire. But I think you guys could do a whole Slumdog Millionaire thing, too, for instead of like from the gay ghetto or something. And
that's
the
brilliant.
Questions that would get asked on, you know, how to become a millionaire.
I love it.
That were gay.
I'm going to pitch it. I think it's fantastic.
Pitch it. I don't know how you do it, but there you go.
I think it's great. See, there you go. You gave me a good idea.
I'm going to work on it. Now you've intrigued me. Now you've intrigued me. Well, you have the whole Proposition 8 thing too, which I want us to talk about when we come back. I'm sure that will be the battle for gay marriage.
Yeah.
Lord, the three-legged race field day battle for Proposition 8 to be rejected or whatever you would call it, thrown down, thrown out. So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to take a break. We got to do some other things with you. We've got news, of course, and what's going on in the theater scene and much, much more. And then Coleman Domingo on the show with me the whole time.
Yay!
1, 2, 3, 4!
What if you could go back and relive the music exactly the way it happened. Something in the way she knows. From Ed Sullivan to Abbey Road. Come together. Rain, a tribute to the Beatles.
Begins March 3rd for 8 performances only at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. A Rand Corporation study, The Economic Cost of Methamphetamine Use in the U.S. 2005, puts the national cost of meth abuse at $23.4 billion. Additionally, $712 million was spent on treatment and hospital care for meth users in 2005.
In Kansas, lesbian Amy Bryan was dismissed from the state's Army National Guard after 9 years of service when she revealed her sexual orientation. Bryan is the first service member dismissed from the Kansas Army National Guard, made up of reservists under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
The first openly gay news anchor, Randy Price, has been let go from WHDH-TV in Boston, ending his 12 years there on February 4th. Price said that the professional parting was a business decision, but he was angered that the station made it look like he wanted to retire.
In New York, police have arrested four people who allegedly vandalized the Long Island Gay and Lesbian Youth Center in Bay Shore last month. Detectives arrested Milagro Ruiz, Gilbert Geigel, Caron Miller-Jones, and Charles Diaz and charged them with second-degree criminal mischief, but have not yet been accused of committing a hate crime.
Republican Utah Governor John Huntsman has said that he is behind civil unions for same-sex couples and giving them many of the same legal rights as married couples. Huntsman said, "I believe in the traditional definition of marriage, but I also believe that we can do a better job in enhancing equal rights for more of our citizens." A gay rights group is pushing a series of bills in Utah's legislature called the Common Ground Initiative that seeks additional civil rights for LGBT residents, something Huntsman also supports.
In Fort Lauderdale, two gay candidates, former City Commissioner Dean Trentalis and businessman Earl Reinerson, have lost the mayoral seat to Jack Seiler, who was supported by anti-gay Jim Noggle, the city's previous mayor.
In San Jose, Vietnamese gays and lesbians march for the first time in a parade to mark Tet, the Lunar New Year. Tan Do, co-chair of the Gay Vietnamese Alliance, said, "You may have not known it, but we've always been part of your community. We're in your life. We hope that message will make it easier for young kids coming out."
In Florida, lesbian Janice Langbin filed a lawsuit in federal court claiming negligence and emotional distress on the part of Jack's Memorial Hospital because it would not initially allow her to visit her dying partner in the emergency ward in 2007. Langbin was not allowed in until last rites were performed because the hospital's emergency visitation policy was limited to immediate family and spouses, not partners.
A civil lawsuit of the Milwaukee U.S. District Court claims that a surgeon and medical clinic refused care to a 35-year-old female patient because she is HIV positive and alleges that Dr. Stephen M. Cahey, Agnesian Healthcare, and Fond du Lac Regional Clinic refused to remove the gallbladder of a sick female prison inmate, Melody Rose, because of her seropositivity.
And in world news, George Ivanov, a candidate for the presidency of Macedonia, has claimed that sexual orientation discrimination is a myth. Ivanov, a law professor, said, "Our system discriminates against no one. Homosexuals stigmatize themselves and think they are in an underprivileged position." His social democrat-backed opponent supports all groups that face discrimination.
Max Krzyzanowski, a 37-year-old from Dublin, defeated 19 other individuals to take the title of Mr. Gay World. Mr. Gay World is an extraordinary opportunity to bring together the entire gay community across the world, said Krzyzanowski.
6 months after winning a gold medal in the 2008 Olympics, openly gay Australian diver Matthew Mitchum has landed a sponsorship offer. Mitchum is now an ambassador of Telstra, the continent's biggest telecommunications company.
In Sweden, authorities are investigating 9 police officers who simulated same-sex acts and ordered a male stripper while partying in a remote cabin. They took pictures of themselves naked and posed with submachine guns.
On the Isle of Man, House of Keys member John Houghton is being criticized for comments he made about a trans rights bill. Houghton said that such a measure defies common decency. "I can't support it. I won't support it. It takes human rights too far."
And in entertainment news, openly gay actor Cheyenne Jackson will guest star in an episode of TV's Ugly Betty as a gay father. Jackson, who appeared on another ABC show, Life on Mars, on February 11th, is best known for his roles in the movie United 93 and on Broadway in Xanadu.
Singer Jennifer Hudson will kick off her tour April 2nd in Philadelphia with R&B crooner Robin Thicke. The singers will hit Las Vegas, Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, all before wrapping up in Houston in May.
First Lady Michelle Obama will become only the second woman in her position to appear on the cover of Vogue. Obama, who was photographed by Annie Leibovitz, will follow Hillary Clinton, who appeared on the December 1998 cover.
Katherine Heigl and out actor T.R. Knight are leaving Grey's Anatomy. Cast member James Pickens Jr. told Us Magazine, "Wherever Katherine goes, I wish her nothing but the best," and mentioned that Knight just wanted to pursue other career paths.
Dave Grohl, the lead singer of the Foo Fighters, is promoting a website called whiteknot.org to show his support of same-sex marriage. Grohl is one of the first in Hollywood to start wearing a white ribbon as a show of same-sex solidarity. You know what that's about. I believe in love, and I believe in equality, and I believe in marriage equality. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Colton Ford, and you're being turned on by the Windy City Queercast.
Center on Halsted proudly announces the Party of the Season, the Human First Gala, Saturday, March 21st in the Grand Ballroom of the Hyatt Regency Chicago. Begin the evening at 6:30 with cocktails and hors d'oeuvres, followed by the Human First Awards, honoring State Representative Sarah Feigenholz, State Representative Greg Harris, Mr. Joseph Lundy, and the Knight Ministry. Then a delicious dinner and dancing with the sounds of Malik's Ultimate Band. The Human First Gala is Saturday, March 21st. Get your tickets now. For reservations, visit centeronhalsted.org. Valet parking is available. Dress is black tie optional.
Hey, it's Finn bringing you By the Way, where I'll attempt to represent the B in the big gay alphabet. So I have a pop culture rant. I hate to admit this, but as I was messing around with the computer tonight, I had the TV on in the background, which is my story, and I'm sticking to it, and the fucking Millionaire Matchmaker was on. Embarrassing, I know. It was just on in the background, like I said. Anyway, so the matchmaker, Lady Patty, she is at some dumbass rich guy's house, and he has this painting of that he did himself of Britney and Madonna kissing. And she told the dude that it would scare away women or would make them not want to marry him. You know, side note being that the guy is a total ass, so I'm sure the painting, that while tacky, wasn't the only thing that would send women running. Anyways, she said that the only women that this painting would attract would be bisexual women. And then she asked him sarcastically if that's the kind of woman he was looking for. And then they go to the split screen, and she makes the side comment that, quote, bisexual women are not what you want for the mother of your children because, here's a tip, they could leave you for another woman. Hello? End quote. Yeah, that is a fucking classic misunderstanding and just flat-out bi-bashing. Here's a tip, Patty, and any other ignorant people who are taking tips from this Diary of the Mouth matchmaker. Women could leave you for any number of reasons. It's not working, another man, et cetera, et cetera. Hello? How stupid of her to even go there. It wasn't a necessary thing to say. Just tell him the painting sucks. It's stupid. It looks bad. It wasn't a logical conclusion that just because two chicks are kissing, you're going to attract a bisexual. Just because we kiss women doesn't mean a kiss is going to make us stray. And, as I've mentioned before, I resent the assumption that just because we're attracted to both men and women, that means we can't be monogamous. Ignorance all around on this one, and it just set me off. Because it was on Bravo, nonetheless. Maybe they'll be hearing from me. I just got to represent. So it's interesting, because once you're aware of this kind of bullshit stereotyping about bisexuals, you'll notice it all around, especially in today's terrible pop culture reality TV shows. So here's my challenge to you, listeners. First of all, try to be aware when bisexuals are brought up on TV, since it's not usually in a flattering or realistic light. And when you hear ignorance being spread, do something about it. Stop to educate those watching with you so they don't perpetuate the ignorance. Or you could use the story to make small talk the next time you're out at a bar or party. Or do what I'm going to do and write the station a letter. I might even send a link of this segment of the show. Good looking out, Bravo. You know our community makes up the majority of your viewers. Maybe you should try not to ostracize us when we're just trying to relax on a Thursday night. Or else they could do something to counteract the ignorance. Where are the bees on Bravo? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I am Sin, and I told you I got your back, guys. I'm representing the bee in the big gay alphabet.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, what the hell was that about?
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion. And we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
People, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history, with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills, or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 16th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
When the mistress is away, the maids will play. Don't miss the seductive French production The Maids by Jean Genet at Writers Theater. The Chicago Sun-Times raves that the actresses are magnificent, and the Chicago Tribune calls it accomplished and provocative. Order your tickets today for The Maids at writerstheater.org.
A Paris hotel, a loopy bellboy, an astute concierge, a naked bombshell, a society of young pâté lovers, and three Americans, a beautiful woman, her ex-husband, and her young doctor. Throw into the mix, Ducks in Harm's Way, and Ooh La La, What Do You Have? Slap Happy, a romantic comedy with a taste of foie gras. At Theater Building Chicago, for tickets and more, visit slaphappyplay.com.
Shrouded in mystery, six ordinary people grapple with the emotional casualties of war in Old Glory, the latest work from Brett Nouveau, one of Chicago's hottest young playwrights. Playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, Old Glory explores the fierce wit and gritty honesty of what happens when you play by the rules and lose. Playing through March 29th, visit writerstheater.org for tickets.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
So Coleman, Proposition 8, I know that we've gone through a period now where we're still all getting the emails, we're watching the videos of gay kids of gay parents saying, don't make my daddy's divorce, and there's been all kinds of emotional heartstring things going on.
Yeah.
And activism seems to continue a bit, as we heard in our news today. WhiteKnot.org is a new website that the White Knot, representing solidarity for same-sex marriage, that Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters is championing, and other people still kind of keeping this buzz alive.
Yeah.
And in Chicago, they staged a sit-in this past week where seven people were arrested because they refused to leave the Cook County Marriage License Bureau. And I'm just wanting to know, do you think these actions are going to work? Do you think they're going to work in the immediate sit-ins? And do we need to march again? Or do we just need to make sure that it's appearing on things like the Big Gay Sketch Show and even Saturday Night Live, and something happening on the news, and it's just on as many forms of media as we can?
It's funny. I think, I don't want to sound like some sort of weird Pollyanna, but I really believe that I trust and believe that it's going to happen, that we're going to get rights to be married. It's going to happen. Yeah. And I think it's going to happen soon. And soon could be about maybe 2 years, maybe. But hopefully sooner than that. But I really truly believe that in my heart that it's going to happen, because it just seems, because it just makes sense. And it just seems like, because now it is on everyone's tongue. It's what people are talking about in the workplace. People are talking about it now, which is great, because people weren't before, and they were having their own bigoted opinions about it and voting the wrong way, you know, because they didn't have enough information and no one was talking to them about it. And, you know, but now it's more on people's minds and they can actually think about it more. Mm-hmm. But also it's on the politician's mind, and they know. And the more that we've been galvanized, we've come together, just like, you know, African-American civil rights and women, you know, to get voters' rights, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, it just takes a little time. Yeah. You know, things are, it gets thrown up and all of a sudden, you know, it's against us that we can't get married. But I guarantee, I really feel like it's going to be knocked down very soon.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, hope and faith. And I think all of this helps. I think all of it helps. I think sit-ins, rallies, whatever, you name it, emails, just keep people talking about it and thinking about it and arguing about it.
Yeah, I wonder how much we have to hold the Obama administration accountable. Now, he did not say he was going to support gay marriage.
He didn't say that, but I kind of think he will.
Well, he said he would support civil unions. So, you know, seems like we need to get, I don't know that we need to get some pressure on the Hill. I know they're so worried about this stimulus package and the economy and all of that. But,
you know, it's so funny because it's like, I think I might fall. You may be a little shocked when you hear me say this. I might fall on the gays that think about, like, Raul and I would love for us to, you know, we have a domestic partnership right now and we'd like to get married. But I know it's about, like, the word marriage and shit like that, and that these, you know, stupid people, I'm going to just say these stupid ass people, they want to, marriage is this marriage. All right, fine. Just give me the same fucking rights and everything else. And you can keep the fucking name. I don't care. It's just a fucking, I just want all the rights and everything like that. I don't give a fuck what it's called.
Yeah.
Just give me everything. Call it something else.
Yep.
But I want those rights, and you can keep marriage all you want.
Yeah.
You know, although you don't have the right to a word, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I really think that if we had civil unions that were full marriage rights, generally civil unions are not, because they're not recognized federally. So Social Security and all those other protections that are federal.
Yeah. I think we should pull back on our taxes. I mean, just like Melissa Etheridge did. I think it's so true.
Yeah,
I feel like about that. I say, okay, well, I'm not giving all my rights, but I'm giving all my tax money. How about no?
Yeah, but don't you think if like Barack Obama told the whole United States like gays can get married, that would stimulate the economy?
Fuck yes. Are you kidding me?
See, I think we are the economic stimulus.
Oh my God, that would be. I didn't even think about that. It makes so much sense.
Yeah, like we would be buying like fabulous gowns or tuxes, you know, Armani,
the restaurants,
Gucci,
the catering,
Prada, the best
it.
Food, hotels would be booked for our families to come in. You know, we would be registered at all the best places. Therefore, people are going out and shopping.
Oh my God.
It's people who are in their 30s and 40s and 50s who've never asked their friends ever for a gift. So your friend's going to have to buy you a gift because you've never had a marriage and a divorce. And
exactly.
So by the time, you know, if you're straight and it's the second or third wedding and people are like, I'm not buying them a gift or not a nice gift. I think people would buy you really nice gifts. You can be registered at all the big department stores and Crate and Barrel and Williams-Sonoma.
It will totally stimulate the economy.
Wouldn't it? This is my thought.
It's so true.
Yeah. And then you have the hairdressers, the makeup artists, the photographers.
Right. The drag queens. I mean, you name it.
And then tourism, because we're all going to go on a honeymoon.
Yes.
Airfare, because we got to fly there. Rental cars, because we got to drive there.
Okay, you need to put this up in a proposal and, like, you know, send it around and, like, make sure that Obama gets this.
Yeah, stimulate the package that way. Tell any gay people that get married in the next 12 months that you'll give them a deduction on their taxes if they have a wedding of X thousands of dollars or more, that they get a tax credit and let them go.
You know, And let me tell you what, the straight people will be leaping all over that too. Roommates will start getting married.
Yeah.
Just to get the tax cuts and shit like that, you know? Hey. Straight roommates. Just like, let's get married. Shit, we can get some tax cuts and some incentives and shit like that.
I just want the registry. I don't really need anything, but it's all those things right. Like when you're in the Crate and Barrel and you're like, look at that little utensil. It like does the most unusual little thing. Well, I would never buy that for myself, but if I was registered, I would put that down on my registry as a nice $20 or under gift that someone could give me.
Exactly.
You know, new towels that don't have any like frayed edges. And I'd give my dishware to... you know, the thrift store or to somebody who really needs it and get all nice new white dishware and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That rocks.
I really do. I think that's
that is like the most intelligent thing I've heard about this whole stimulus. You really should have, that should have been in the stimulus package.
I think it should be. I really do. You know, there was an interesting story in the Chicago Tribune this past Sunday from one of their columnists who, really just, I don't know, talks about whatever he, I mean, he's kind of an editorialist, Eric Zorn. And he was talking about the fact that he was reading the Tribune last week and he saw this obituary that really jumped out at him. And it said something about the death of a man named Trevor Jensen. And Trevor Jensen wrote the obituary of 52-year-old Gregory D. Harris of Chicago. And he said, you know, the line that really stuck out to him was J. Dillon, his partner of 32 years. Huh. And he goes on to talk about how amazing that is because obviously these two men met when they were 20, or this man was 20.
Yeah.
And he did some research and did find out that they were both gay because he thought maybe J could be a woman, but the language seemed to say that it was a guy, and he spoke with this partner, the surviving partner, and the guy said, yeah, we met, we were juniors at Indiana University, they grew up together, they started as good friends, ended as great friends, and the guy died of a heart attack, and they were both teachers, one's an elementary school teacher, and then the man who died was an English teacher at New Trier, which is one of the really big kind of, all the celebrities come out of New Trier. But he was just saying how infuriating that most romances don't start at 20 and last, and how hard it is for gay couples to really endure because society doesn't set up anything for them to endure. And he said, I was outraged. How dare we so casually grant serial marriage rights and privileges to any impetuous heterosexual who wants them? Let's think Drew Peterson, and deny them to such stable, committed partners as Dillon and Harris. And I thought that was so beautiful. It had a beautiful picture of them in the paper. And we need more of that. We need more people showing that we have television shows for people to meet someone to marry.
Yeah,
you know, with a rose that they've watched kiss other people and they're going to win money.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. So it's sanctified really our institution of marriage.
Yeah. 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 And they just want to wave it over us. And it's like, that's no. That's not right. Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. But this is what we got to keep doing. Keep talking about it. Keep just like you're, you know. Every chance we get.
We need the teachers to come from the straight community. Yeah. And when I mean teachers, I don't mean teaching in a school. I mean, like, this article is a teaching article.
Absolutely.
You know, we need our straight allies.
Yeah.
Like Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters and other people. You know, who is it that, what's the actress who won for Monster?
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, like she and her boyfriend said they won't get married until gay people can get married.
Wow, fabulous. Yeah.
You know, we need straight allies who understand that this is not, and even Keith Olbermann, his wonderful thing that he did
phenomenal.
On Countdown. It's super, super, super cool. Now, do you watch The Amazing Race? Are you a reality TV show fan?
You know, I don't watch that, no.
Yeah, I know that the gays like The Amazing Race.
I hear that, and I don't watch it, though. I know that the queers have been loving it, though.
Yeah, and they have always usually got a gay couple. I actually knew two gay couples uh-huh. that were very, very good friends of mine in Memphis and in Chicago who were both up for this season of Amazing Race, and because they were looking for a gay couple. They did not, I don't know if there's a gay couple on it or not. I did not watch it this past weekend because I don't watch it. So if you watched it, please post a comment. But I read that on the Amazing Race, screenwriter Mike White, who wrote Chuck and Buck and School of Rock and a lot of other great shows, he and his father, Mel White, who's been on our podcast, who I love, he's a minister and he's a gay rights activist, his father and he are the father-son team. And I think that is so cool to have a gay dad with his straight son.
That's very cool.
On the show. So I might have to tune in just because the Whites are on, just because Mike and Mel are on.
But, oh, great.
I was hoping that you maybe watched, because I know so many of my gay guy friends love The Amazing Race.
I don't. I wish I did. Well, you know what? We don't have cable right now.
Oh, dear.
We decided when I went away that we don't have cable, and so we actually – I know we've been – we're like some like Little House on the Prairie or something in here. It's like we're reading books and Raul's sewing and shit like that. We don't even know what time it is. We don't even have clocks or anything. It's like insane. It's like – yeah. I'm like – it's like – yeah. It's like Little House in a Prairie in New York City here right now.
And how is New York? What is the buzz going on there? How's Broadway? Is it lighting up again?
It's what it is. It's like, actually, you know, so many shows closed in January, but right. Things will be lighting itself up quite soon, I think. Yeah. And let's see, anything really buzzed? What Ruined just opened here, you know, that was at the Goodman.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and it just opened here to great reviews. And there's some things going on, I think. By the way, my little show at Joe's Pub will be happening on February 23rd, my solo show.
Woohoo! A Boy and a...
Yeah, so
that's this
Monday.
Weekend.
Yes, it's coming Monday. So,
all right, everybody. Anybody in the New York, Jersey, not too far from New York City,
yeah, Pennsylvania,
give us the details.
Yeah,
give us
anywhere.
The details.
Yes, the details. You can go to joespub.org. And I'm performing my solo show called A Boy and a Soul. You've heard about it before. A Boy and a Soul. And it's about a young gay boy, soul music. It's a lot of fun. And it's at 9:30 p.m. on Monday night, February 23rd, at Joe's Pub at the Public Theater.
Oh, I want to be there.
I want you to come, too. Tickets are only $20, too. I want you to come.
I got to get you to Chicago to do that show.
I want to.
I got to work on it.
Yeah, let's work on that.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
I want to see if you just do a little bit of it for us, but I don't know how to even do that. But it's
I don't know how. Yeah, it wouldn't be good in context. Out of context, it'll be weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of your memoir almost put to stage in music, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
A Boy and His Soul?
Yes, A Boy and His Soul, yes.
A Boy and His Soul at Joe's Pub, and we will link that in our show notes. Well, we will then say, break a leg, Coleman, and anybody in the New York area, go to Joe's Pub and see Coleman in his show. And the others of us, we can start burning incantations and trying to get Coleman here to Chicago so we can see.
Yes.
And otherwise, we're going to have upcoming shows that include the Windy City Blenders. They are a drag king troupe, but that is just too simplistic. What they do is works of art. I have to tell you, they have such theatrics and amazing storylines to what they do with their drag performance. If you were at the Gays Got Talent, they did the wonderful number called Statues, where four of them were all seemingly revolutionary or war era statues. Really genius, the work that they do. And also, if you are at Gays Got Talent, next week on our show, Lucy, she is the poet that went home with the entire prize, a 50-something African-American lesbian poet from the South Side who stepped into Sidetrack on the stage, silenced an entire bar of about 550 people with two poems, and walked away with the grand prize. So
fabulous.
Lucy on the show next week with Deb Pierce from Toronto. So Coleman, break a leg.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you so much.
Pitch some of my ideas to the Big Gay Sketch Show. I mean,
I
you
sure
know,
will.
You could also do a Chris Brown sketch, but I don't know how you'd make that funny. But
exactly right. I know, huh?
I think you need to do Beyonce, though, somehow. You got to, you know,
yes,
do the single ladies.
I thought about that, too. I did think about that. I was like, but I was wondering, would that be like too, it's been beaten in the ground now in a way, but I feel like maybe one more time, but it has to be so wacky and crazy.
Yeah. I think you could bring the wacky and crazy to it. I don't know why I always want you to do women characters. It just cracks me up.
It's funny. I did an interview earlier today, and someone else said that. They said, I love all the way you're in drag a lot. I'm like, yeah, I kind of am. And I wonder why. I'm like, I'm kind of a hunky looking guy.
You're not a pretty girl, but you're a very funny girl.
See, exactly. Yes, exactly. She's not pretty. She's not pretty. She makes us laugh, though. She's not pretty.
Yeah, I think you have to have Oprah come back. You know, yeah. Oprah has to come back with her big confession that she's 200 pounds, like we can't see her with our own two eyes. And
Yes, exactly. She had to tell us, right?
She had to tell us. And then you could also do some more Maya Angelou and maybe some Aretha Franklin, you know,
yes,
inauguration poems and songs or,
yes,
I don't
exactly
know, fashion tips from Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
Coleman Domingo, we will talk with you next month, my love. Have a great show.
See you. Thank you so much, sweetie.
And everybody else, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.